Alison Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope, writing as Caroline Harvey. Dramatised in three parts by Eric Pringle, with Rebecca Egan, Charles Simpson and Nicholas Leprevo. Part 1.
Who's that in the orchard? Please, God, don't let them see me. What shall I do? It's Henry Lennox and Johnny Gates.
Lady Lennox has received a letter from John Gates.
Really, Papa?
He begs her forgiveness, assures her that he is a reformed character, and asks permission to visit.
John Gates will never reform, Papa. Why, even as a boy he was wicked. He upset the churns in the dairies.
Tied cat's tails together.
Hobbled the dogs, threw apples at the gardener.
Left toads in the maid's bedrooms.
Children, one must make allowances for an orphan, brought up by an aunt and uncle among cousins.
Look what he did to one of his cousins. Why, if the stable boy had not caught him in the loft with Sophia Lennox in the nick of time...
It is not for us to pass judgment. I'm sure Sophia was equally to blame.
I trust you advised Lady Lennox to refuse him.
I did not. John did wrong, but he is not evil, merely self-indulgent. I suggested he should be forgiven and allowed to come.
For good, Papa?
Only for a few months, Carrie. His Scottish relation has obtained a post for him with the East India Company.
He is being sent a very long way. One supposes, therefore, he has not improved.
Catch him, Henry, catch him. Are you hurt, Johnny?
No, not in the least. Catch him, I said.
Don't ride him again. It isn't safe. He's only half broken.
Catch him, you fool. I'll cut him off this way.
Good Lord. I must have knocked my head. Henry, I'm having a vision.
Got him. Come along, you renegade. Why, it's Parson Harding's daughter, is it not?
You remember Miss Caroline, Johnny.
How could I forget?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you.
Is there something I can do for you?
I was going to the kitchen for early peas. Lady Lennox kindly, and Papa so likes them.
Hand me your basket and I'll fetch you some.
No, I'd rather. It's no trouble, Mr. Lennox.
Get off your pony and sit on my coat, Miss Harding. I'll not be 10 minutes. Entertain her, Johnny.
Indeed I will, Henry. Trust me.
What shall I do?
Let me help you down, shall I? Careful.
Thank you, Mr. Gates.
Well, now. Do you enjoy riding?
Yes, but I hardly ride at all.
Will you try my pony?
Oh, no. No, indeed. I shouldn't dare.
I think you would.
I'd fall immediately.
I don't think so.
I cannot. I really cannot.
I think you can.
Very well. Will you help me up?
Yes, I will. Are you ready? Careful. And... and ready... Now! Keep going. Watch the trees. Watch the trees.
Don't throw me off. Please don't throw me off.
Stick with him. Stick with him. Stick with him.
I must be mad. We're going to hit a tree in the wall. Oh, my hat's off. Skirts rucked up, hair flying. Eleanor would die of shame. Robert of embarrassment and father. Oh!
You've done it. You've done it. Well done. Down you come. You were afraid. But you still did it. Why? Were you afraid I should laugh at you?
You dared me. I was afraid of my own remorse later if I didn't do it.
I know no one like you. You're trembling. Here, let me put my coat round you. I wouldn't have frightened you for the world.
I'm not frightened. I'm surprised at myself.
So am I.
Mr. Gates, you're still holding my waist.
Here are your peas, Miss Harding.
Damn.
And here is your hat.
Thank you, Mr. Lennox. It blew off.
I'll take the hat, Henry, and the basket. Tell Aunt I shall be late for dinner. I'm going to take Miss Harding home.
Ah.
Today. And every day for as long as it takes.
As long as what takes, Mr. Gates? Johnny?
3 weeks. I thought it would never happen. Because I'm the first to kiss you, aren't I? I'm the first. The very first!
Someone will hear.
I don't care. I'm bewitched. Bewitched by the silvery, gleaming eyes of a parson's daughter, bewitched by her gentleness and courage.
You may be the second as well as the first.
Oh, my Caroline.
Carrie, I'm astonished at you.
I'm astonished at myself, Eleanor. And at our servants, Tuttle.
They have done no more than their duty in informing Papa. Apparently you're the talk of Stoke Abbas, if not the whole of Dorset. They are well aware of John Gate's reputation and your innocence.
You mean I'm naive?
I mean you are only 18 and a little mouse of a thing. And the folly of throwing yourself at a man like that beggars belief. What must the village think of you? You've brought shame upon the parsonage.
Is that all?
You take no account of my feelings at Mama's loss, nor the duties which, as the eldest, I have had to undertake.
Other people have been devastated too, Eleanor. Some more than you.
How dare you, Carrie? Well, now you are to get your desserts. You've been summoned to go to the park with Papa.
But
Lord and Lady Lennox wish to speak with you.
Come in, my dear Hardy.
Lord
and
Lennox.
Miss Caroline. Charming to see you both.
It is indeed. Come over here, Caroline, and give me a kiss.
Lady Lennox? Johnny?
Well, this is all very pleasant. We shall have wine presently, yes. But first, will you speak to Caroline, Johnny?
Speak to me? About what?
Certainly, Aunt, but I should like to do it alone. May I take her into the rose garden?
Johnny, I don't understand any of this.
I know you don't. Well, here it is, as plain as I can make it. I'm to go to India in September. I'd intended to go as a bachelor, but I find I don't want to be a bachelor any longer.
You don't?
I never expected to feel what I felt these last weeks. I never thought to be bewitched. But I am bewitched, Caroline. And now I don't think I could live without you. Am I right in thinking you'd be unhappy too, without me?
Oh, I should. I couldn't bear it.
We'll both have to bear it a little while I sail and find a house and engage servants for us. Then you could come out to India and we'd be married.
Married? Married?
If you'll have me.
Oh, yes, Johnny. Yes. Yes.
Oh, shall you not mind the heat of India, the snakes, the strangeness? Will you dare it all for me?
You're daring me again. Of course I will.
Oh, my Caroline.
I love you, Johnny Gates. I love you. I love you.
With praise, approach with joy.
Stiffening into age, time has not improved. Did you ever see such a set of dullards? Yet their mother was so pretty, and their father still handsome.
They're changelings.
Hush, my love.
I should think they're why Mrs. Harding decided to die. It was the only way she could escape her dreadful children.
You'll disturb the parson.
This is Stoke Park pew, Harry. Our pew. So I believe we may do as we like in it. And the parson's living is in our gift. Oh, look at the way he's watching them. Lined up like peas in a pod under his nose. Such exasperation. And no wonder. Eleanor, of course, is quite impervious. She's far too severe and conscious of her own value to care about anyone else's opinion.
I love.
And what can he do about Robert? 27 years old and without enough confidence to cover a pin. Still his father's curate because no other Dorset church will have him. Still single because no woman of substance will look at him and he can't afford to marry for love.
Really, my dear, I think you should
and
wait
until... for Caroline, 26 and still a mouse. How did she ever have the effrontery to think she could catch Johnny? No wonder he forgot her as soon as he set sail. She's entirely forgettable. Plain as a pikestaff, and now, of course, doomed for an old maid. Well, she'll never have another chance.
You're unjust. Her grey eyes are very fine.
Not right. She's the least offensively plain of the bunch. But that isn't saying much.
Cottagers like her.
Of course she fusses over them like a hen with chicks. I'm sure she only does that because she has nothing else to do.
Why this sudden interest in the Hardings?
Because we're having them to dinner, Harry.
What?
And I cannot bear the prospect.
As the centre of attention, Mama, I refuse to be afflicted by any Harding at all if I cannot have the parson. I will not endure Robert another meal.
Since it is unlikely you will ever have to sit by Robert again, Georgiana, you will behave to him tonight.
Mama!
Think of me, Georgiana. I'm doomed to Miss Eleanor. I doubt I'll survive the ordeal.
Eleanor Harding is a capable and practical woman, Harry.
Not qualities I seek in a dinner companion.
And Frank gets the lovely Caroline.
Oh, I say, Georgie, may I not be excused?
It's a real chance for you, Frank.
Shall I be very wretched beside her?
You will be fascinated. For beauty, wit, and conversation, there is no one to surpass.
Georgiana.
Mama, even with your generous heart, you must admit that Caroline Harding is the most insignificant person in the whole of Dorset. Listen, Frank, this is how you converse with the Hardings. With the father and the elder daughter, you listen and never get the chance to speak. But with the son and the younger daughter, you speak and long for a chance to listen that never comes.
I should prefer the former.
Of course you would. And once we're married, you won't need to speak again for the rest of your life. Come on, let's go riding.
Robert, I despair. I've spent the entire day trying to get a headache that will prevent me from going to the park. Picking strawberries in full sunlight without a hat. And now, painting this miniature without my spectacles. The result? No headache.
I like your miniatures, Carrie. You have talent.
It's the one thing my short sight equips me for.
Caroline!
Oh.
Caroline!
Oh, I'm off.
Hello, Eleanor.
I've been searching for you for a half hour, Carrie, with a thousand things to do.
I'm sorry, Eleanor.
So you should be, sitting idly up here while I...
What is it you want me to do?
Nothing. I've done it all.
Then why must you interrupt me?
It's time you were thinking of dressing.
Dressing doesn't take me 2 hours.
I wish you to look well. I wish you to be a credit to Papa.
We are none of us ever a credit to Papa. It is he who is a credit to us.
Caroline, when you're in this mood, conversation with you is impossible.
I'm sorry.
You're always sorry, but you never try to be different. What is your life to become if you...
Don't ask me that, Eleanor. I don't know what's to become of my life. You run the house, control the accounts, and shape our lives to suit Papa. Robert will in due course become a parson. But what is there for a parson's second daughter with small means and no looks? I teach some of the cottage children to read, and I help where I can. But as for the future, I suppose I'll end up as somebody's companion, and I hate the prospect. So please, don't scold me.
I beg you will not wear the blue tonight, Carrie. It's a most unsuitable colour.
Unsuitable for what? I wore it to church last Sunday. Surely what is suitable for church is suitable for Stoke Park.
It was not suitable for church. I'm sure Papa thinks so.
He does not. He said it reminded him of Mama, who loved blue above all colours.
Papa has too good a heart to hurt your feelings. I beg you will wear your grey, or the muslin.
I'll be ready on time, Eleanor.
In the grey, if you please, Carrie.
Oh!
Parson Harding, come over here beside me.
With pleasure, Lady Lennox. May I say how elegant you look?
Of course you may, dear man.
And here is Georgiana, looking a picture.
Caroline, come here. I'm sure I haven't seen you in a month. I suppose you've been occupied with painting and your little village pupils.
Yes, Lady Lennox.
I wish to present Lord Lovell to you.
Lord Lovell? Oh, I...
Delighted to meet you, Miss Harding.
You must tell her about India, Frank. I'm sure she knows nothing of India, do you, Caroline?
India? No, indeed.
Frank knows India. He has been there.
I shall be glad to listen.
Oh, I hope you'll help me a little more than that.
I'll try. I'm not much use at conversation. But I should dearly like to hear of India.
Parson Harding, may I take your arm?
Indeed.
It must be time for dinner. May I escort you?
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord Lovell, thank you.
Oh, Robert, you mustn't tease me. I cannot keep pace with your wit.
Oh, Miss Georgiana, I wouldn't. I couldn't.
Is Georgie not fascinating, Miss Harding?
Yes, she is, Lord Lovell. Entirely.
A little more to eat.
Where have you been in India, Lord Lovell?
In Bengal, sir. Calcutta. I stayed with my cousin, Sir Edward Ashton. He's a scholar and statesman, and one of the most respected members of the Council of the East India Company. I believe he's a staunch supporter of Warren Hastings, the Governor General. He's much older than I am, of course.
I knew an Ashton at Cambridge, Lady Lennox.
No, really?
I had a wild time in India, Miss Harding.
Sure, you won't have a glass.
I think my cousin was thankful to see me leave.
Very well, very well.
Do you know, India is the most sociable place, and Calcutta is full of the best fellows imaginable. I was never in bed before 4 in the morning.
Is it possible to be dissipated in such heat?
Oh, indeed, yes, sir.
I'm sure you could manage it.
I believe almost more than in London. Why, I met one man who said he never had above 4 hours sleep in India.
Who was this phenomenon?
John Gates, sir.
Johnny Gates?
How bad, Johnny.
Can't call him my bad, Johnny. It's like a good time.
Why, I didn't get to know him intimately.
Well, that's just as well.
We haven't heard of Johnny in 7 years.
It's eight years since he was sent away. And everybody here has forgotten I was to marry him.
Does he prosper?
I think he does.
He was a bad boy, but there was something in him that makes me hope he's well.
Yes. He wasn't bad. He was just young and wild and forgetful.
You see, Frank, John Gates is a connection of ours. His mother was Lord Lennox's sister. When his parents died, he became our ward and grew up as one of our children.
He was the best playmate in the world and easily the most wicked. I'm sure he's no better behaved now, is he, Frank?
Well, I...
Your stammering speaks worlds, Frank. Let us change the subject.
Oh, Johnny, such a shame. I wish we were 18 again. Wedding here, but you do understand.
Come in.
You sent for me, Lady Lennox?
Don't look so anxious, Frank. Sit down. I want to hear more about Johnny Gates.
Oh.
When you saw him in Calcutta, was it in his own house?
No, ma'am. Always in the houses of others.
Oh. Was he drunk?
Slightly. It is customary, it seems, in India.
I understand you very well. Has he married?
No. There aren't many married men in Calcutta. The company tries to send out possible wives because the shortage of suitable women makes for... Well, for men to...
To take native mistresses. Does Johnny Gates have an Indian mistress?
Yes, I believe so.
Is he extravagant?
I believe he has horses. Oh, and an excellent cellar.
I take it, Frank, that John Gates' way of life is debauched even by the standards of Bengal. That is true, is it not?
Well, I wouldn't... Yes.
Are you not going to bed, my dear?
Not yet, Harry. Come and sit beside me.
I was rather thinking of bed myself.
I wish to talk to you.
Very well. It's about Johnny, I suppose.
Our plan has failed, Harry. We thought the rigours of India and the discipline of the East India Company would reform him. Mm. They have not.
He's no longer our responsibility. You mustn't concern yourself about him.
I'm not in the least concerned about him. What concerns me is money. Our money.
I don't follow you.
Harry, sometimes... Do you really not remember that your sister left a large part of the Lennox fortune in trust to pass to him when you die? Oh. I have no intention of seeing it drunk and gambled and squandered.
You can't stop it.
I can influence how he spends it.
Can you, my love?
I have a plan. Johnny must marry a sensible, thrifty, plain-living woman who will contain his extravagances. A woman who is of an age and type unlikely to bear children. Then, when he debauches himself to death, the money will revert to our children. What do you think of that?
Well, I think... Where would you find such a woman?
She's found already. Caroline Harding.
Caroline?
She fits the bill perfectly.
But how could such a marriage be brought about?
Leave that to me. Go to bed now. I must pave the way. I've letters to write. Do you know how long it takes letters to get to India? It will be a year before I have a reply.
Answer me, you dolt. Why am I not in my nightshirt?
Sir Sahib was so wild last night that we were fearing injury.
Wild?
Sir Sahib Ashton, we are not knowing you so wild in 10 years.
That's because I was drunk for the first time in 10 years. Why did I do it? I say, Gokul.
Sahib.
I wasn't brought home singing and shouting and flailing about like a chit of a clerk, was I?
Oh, Sir Sahib.
I was. Oh, God. Head.
Sir Sahib is sick.
Sir Edward Ashton is not sick, Gokul. He has a monumental hangover.
Oh, we are rejoicing.
What time is it?
It is being 10.
10? I've missed the Governor-General's breakfast for the French attorneys. Where's the blasted barber?
He is hiding, Sir Sahib. But your breakfast...
No, take it away.
All of it, Sir Sahib.
Everything. At once. Far away.
Yes, Sir Sahib.
Oh, Buxley. It's you. Thank God.
I'm sorry to hear you're unwell, Sir Edward.
I require no pity. I deserve every twinge.
You may come out, Barber. Sir Edward will not hit you, but proceed gently.
I am being moused, Sir Sahib.
No powder, do you hear? No pomade, no wigs. I don't care what they do in Versailles.
Very well, Sir Sahib.
This is most unusual, Sir Edward. Every other Englishman in India may get through 7 different wines at dinner and follow with 2 bottles of claret and a quantity of port. But your abstinence is legendary. And until now, almost complete, if I may say so.
Yes, you're quite right, Buxby. I dislike drunkenness. I dislike myself. The trouble is I'm beginning to dislike Calcutta society. If it wasn't for my regard for Warren Hastings and my fondness for India, I think I'd scuttle back to Ashton Court. And my estate in Herefordshire. Last night, I became so bored with the witless girls they sat me with at dinner. Why do mothers always assume I'll marry their daughters? The seeking oblivion seemed the only escape.
I presume you found it, sir?
Yeah, I must have. I remember nothing after dinner. And now I'm paying for it. You must excuse my temper. So, what have we this morning?
Not a great deal. 3 letters from England and some trouble at the silk mills up at Kazim Bazaar.
What trouble?
More inland trading, sir.
God damn 'em. I can understand why company clerks feel the need to supplement their meagre salaries with a little private trading, but it's getting out of hand. What's gone missing this time?
An entire cargo of broadcloth and firearms which were to have been exchanged for silks. The guns and woolens have vanished and the silks have been diverted and sold to the French.
Why did I not hear of this before?
I told you about it yesterday, sir, before the oblivion.
Ah. What letters from England?
One from your sister at Ashton Court, one from your lawyer in London, and one other.
Tell me about it. I can't see straight to read. That's enough, thank you, Barber.
Yes, sir, Sahib.
I don't seem to understand this thoroughly, sir. It appears to have some connection with your cousin, Lord Lovell.
He's not coming back, is he?
Far from it. It seems he's about to marry a Miss Georgiana Lennox of Stoke Park in Dorset. This letter comes from her mother.
Her mother?
It appears she has the incumbency of Stoke Abbas in her gift, and it is presently held by a Parson Harding. He has a daughter, a Miss Caroline Harding, who was once promised to a certain John Gates.
What is this nonsense? Who are these people?
I am not quite done, sir.
I never heard of any of them in my life.
Well, it seems that John Gates is in the company's employ and is yet unmarried. Lady Lennox wishes you to inform her if you think he would make a suitable husband for Miss Harding.
Is this a joke?
I believe not, sir.
Are you telling me, Buxley, that a perfectly strange woman in Dorset is asking me as to the suitability of some trifling clerk for the hand of the daughter of a parson I've never heard of?
It does seem so.
Preposterous. She must be a mad woman. I'm speechless.
What would you wish me to reply?
Oh, you reply nothing.
May I not merely acknowledge it and say you have no opinion on the subject?
Got my head. Look, do what you will, Buxley. I don't care. Today I don't care for anything.
Dear Lady Lennox, Sir Edward Ashton begs me to thank you for your letter of June 16th, 1775. He instructs me to inform you that he knows of no objection to the proposed marriage between Miss Caroline Harding and Mr. John Gates. I remain your humble servant, Ralph Buxby.
Him.
I know it, miss, but apothecary says I must do it to save his legs. William's got rickets real bad, so I'm going to spread scalding ointment all over him and then strap him into these here splints. Oh, but it gives him such blisters, and he screams so, and it do kill me to do it.
I'm not surprised. Anne, will you trust me? I've a notion that will help William faster than Mr. Piers's remedy and give him no pain at all.
I'll do anything so as not to hurt him more.
Very well. You boys, turn your backs. Oh. Take those disgusting rags off him. We'll wash him and wrap him in my petticoat. And Meg must go to the park farm for a quart of fresh milk.
Milk, Miss Caroline?
William must drink as much milk as he can. That will be his only medicine. You're to keep him clean. And let him have plenty of air on those poor little legs.
We can't buy him milk, miss. You know we can't.
I shall pay for it, Anne. You'll be given 2 quarts a day.
Oh, Miss Caroline. Oh, you're a blessed angel.
Are you still fiddling with my wig, Barber?
Yes, sir, Sahib.
Sirka, come here, you villain.
You're wanting me, Sahib?
You're a greasy, filthy man. For a Sirka, you're an absolute disgrace. How can you absorb so much money and stay so disreputable?
Sahib, I'm being the way I am.
Well, smarten up. And get this whole house clean before nightfall. It stinks.
I cannot be doing it, Sabgit. You're not paying the servants.
Cringing toad! I gave you money a week ago. What have you done with it?
Oh, there were so many debts needing the paying, Sab. I could not pay the servants. I'm paying the money lender. I'm paying the dobi.
No.
I'm paying...
Get out! Get out! I'll kick you!
I'm running, sir.
Monstrous. Monstrous that a man brought up as I've been should have to live like a... pig. Deceived at every turn. Monstrous that he should live uncared for and miserable. Haven't you got my wig on yet, Barbara? I'm an hour late for the office already. Now get out of the way! Somebody fetch my brocade coat. Snuffbox! Handkerchief! Cane!
Sahib.
The signet ring. Where's the blasted mirror? Yes.
Yes. My God, I may have put on a bit of weight. I may live beyond my means, I may drink Calcutta dry and pox myself nightly on its whores, but I'm still splendid, Zyde. I was christened Beau Gates when I arrived, and I'm Beau Gates yet. Do you hear me, you scum? Fetch my horse! Run!
Miss Harding! Wait!
Mr. Piers.
I've been wanting to have a word with you.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I'm glad to see you, Miss Harding. Very glad.
Are you Mr. Piers?
I thought you must be eluding me deliberately.
Oh, no, I wasn't eluding...
Do you tell me so? And will you also tell me that the sudden rise in milk consumption among the cottagers in Stoke Abbas and the marked improvement in the rickety children, especially little William Hedges, have no relation either to each other or to yourself?
Oh, I did not mean anyone to know.
But it is known. It was bound to be known.
I was afraid to offend you, Mr. Piers.
Good gracious, Miss Harding. Do you think I'm so mean-spirited as to be offended by your help? Allow me to congratulate you. In this and your other activities, you've been of more benefit to this village than it will ever realize.
Thank you. But it was nothing. Only something I read.
Something I should have read. And that I have now told Dr. Thornton that he should read also.
Dr. Thornton? But he will think me unpardonably interfering.
Oh, he thinks nothing of the sort. He has been profoundly impressed by your actions and is eager to congratulate your father on his admirable daughter. Now, I must bid you good day. May your endeavours continue to prosper.
Thank you. Good day, Mr. Piers. Well, good for you, Miss Caroline Harding. You're not so useless after all.
Oh, I'm undone. Completely undone.
All right, Johnny boy, you've been reading that letter for an hour. I've watched you.
I've run out of luck, George. I'm done for.
How can you be? You won enough last night at whist to keep a king for a week. And that French silk fiddle cleared all your gambling debts.
And to be married. Married?
I'm not to come into my family money if I don't marry who I'm told.
Who says?
She says. My aunt. I'm relying on that money, George. This is blackmail.
Let me see the letter. But can she do this to you?
She must have found a way of doing it. Some legal loophole. And damn it, George, she's even telling me who I should marry. I'm trapped.
I'm sure you haven't forgotten Caroline Harding. You, know the girl, then?
I nearly had to marry her once before. The old man Harding and my aunt and uncle cornered me, and I had to profess honourable intentions.
How did you get away with it?
I got away to India. I'm sure she never blamed me. Those mild, gentle, shy girls never blame a fellow. They always suppose the fault is theirs.
Is that what she's like? Docile?
Wouldn't say boo to a goose. God, George, she'll arrive in Calcutta too frightened to speak, and I'll be shackled as a convict on a prison ship.
It's going to be all right, Johnny boy. You'll have no trouble.
What sort of trouble?
About Rani.
Rani? I've forgotten her. She's the best mistress in Calcutta. Will I have to give her up?
If your wife is the biddable sort of creature you say she is, you won't have to give anything up. You can do just as you like, Rani included.
Can I? Well, that's better.
This girl will be as scared as a rabbit to be in India anyway. So all you have to do is to begin as you mean to go on. Show her your master from the moment she steps ashore.
Well, I could do that, all right. Now, I remember she had an enormous desire to please me. Nearly killed herself on a horse just for me.
Do it and you'll be free as a panther. And you'll get that pigsty of a house put in order for you.
I will. I hadn't thought of that. No more rotten food and dirty linen.
Someone to care for you, to hold your aching head and shield you from every problem.
No more circus. He can deal with a robber.
Johnny Gates, bon viveur, seducer of wives, will have his cake and eat it, as usual.
By God, George, things are looking up. I say, you can help me write my death sentence to England, then we'll have a toast. To Johnny Gates, husband and bachelor.
You look different today, Carrie.
Do I, Papa?
You have more colour. Your eyes are gleaming. In fact, you seem quite elated. Don't you think so, Eleanor?
I agree with you, Father. Have you had a good walk, Carrie?
Wonderful, Robert. Quite wonderful.
Which way did you go, my dear?
Down by the river. Ah. Now April's here, the air...
It's a pity you had nothing better to do. Ah.
Perhaps I should ride there myself.
Oh, you should, Papa. It would do you good to be away from the house. Ah. There are those whose duty and lot is to stay within the house. But that doesn't apply to Papa.
It is not Papa to whom I refer.
I imagine you refer to me.
I do.
Now, Eleanor...
Eleanor, let us have no unpleasantness. Surely it is harmless for Carrie to enjoy her walk.
It is not harmless, Papa. It does a great deal of harm to me. I must bear the whole burden of running the house and looking after you and Robert because Carrie is too selfish and empty-headed to assist me in the smallest way.
That is completely untrue.
You use me as some manner of housekeeper so you may spend your days idling about the countryside and painting little pictures.
Stop!
Now, Carrie...
I am very sorry to spoil dinner, Papa, but I am not sorry for what I am about to say. Eleanor, I am no use in the house because you... absolutely will not allow me to be.
Carrie, please.
I'm permitted no duties, no responsibilities. I'm no longer even allowed to arrange the flowers. I'm accused of being incompetent at everything, fit for nothing, and best out of the way. So I keep out of the way because I can't bear your scolding, and I hate being inactive. If you're short of assistance, you have no one on earth to blame but yourself. Papa, I'm no longer hungry.
My dear.
So if you'll excuse me... I'm going out again. Don't look so worried, Robert. I work myself to exhaustion for not one word of gratitude.
I'm not hungry either, Father. I think I'll go.
So will I, my boy.
You wish to see me, Papa?
Yes, I do, Carrie. Indeed, I do. While you were out, Dr. Thornton called.
Dr. Thornton? Oh, Papa, I...
Now, don't fret yourself. I spent a very pleasant half hour hearing your secret and contemplating your success. I'm proud of you, my dear, and relieved to know that your long absences away from home have been put to such constructive purpose.
This is wonderful. I'm having an astonishing day. This morning I met Mr. Piers, and he said kind and pleasant things to me.
So that was it. Well, there's even more. Dr. Thornton is going to make sure that Lord and Lady Lennox are aware, as he put it, of what a remarkable daughter I have. And he tells me that since rickets are found in the prosperous houses too, your name will often be on the lips of those who... well, those who...
who would not deign to notice me at all under any other circumstances?
Now, don't spoil it, my dear. You will become famous in our little world. That being so...
Yes, Papa?
Dear Carrie, you discouraged me very much at dinner to see your happiness snuffed out by your sister. I'm afraid I'm too old and tired to battle with Eleanor. I always lose. But I do think it a pity that my girls cannot love each other and live in harmony.
It doesn't seem possible, Papa.
Oh, well, perhaps not. But I wonder, could we not perhaps... have a truce?
Oh, dear Papa, I wouldn't distress you for the world. I'll try. For you, I really will try. Eleanor? What are you doing? Is that your account book? Will you not talk to me? I've come to apologize for distressing you.
Will you retract those evil words?
No, but I'll modify them if you like.
Nobody understands the burden I bear. You least of all, you have no heart.
Won't you let me help you a little? I'm sure there's something I can do.
How? You are woefully undomesticated, Carrie.
I don't think I am. If you'll only try me.
Well, I'm sure you're more use in the cottages. But take care you don't bring back some infection. If you do, we shall all be done for.
Of course I'll take care. What good is help if you endanger others by giving it?
I'm thinking of Papa. In all I do, I think of Papa.
I promise I won't endanger any of us.
Don't become proud, Carrie. Think of Papa.
You look surprised to be here, Caroline.
I'm surprised to be invited to Stoke Park by myself, Lady Lennox. It has never happened before.
Why do you suppose I sent for you?
I have no idea. Medical matters, perhaps?
Yes. Lord Lennox and I were most gratified to hear of your little success. That was some months ago now, I believe.
Yes, it was.
I understand you're busy just now with the outbreak of fever in the village, attending to the convalescent.
Yes, Lady Lennox.
That is not the matter I wish to discuss with you. Will you be seated? Now then. My dear Caroline, I have the most wonderful news for you.
News? For me?
For no one else but you. Do you recall dining here a year ago and meeting Lord Lovell?
Yes, I do.
Then I wonder if you recall a certain name that came into our conversation.
No name in particular.
Oh, come, come. Do you mean to tell me you didn't colour up and start at the name of Johnny Gates?
Well, perhaps I did.
Pooh, pooh, perhaps you did. Indeed you did. I saw you do it. You're not going to deny that that name meant something to you.
No. Last summer it might have meant something.
And now?
I do not understand you, Lady Lennox. What has now got to do with it?
Everything. I have here a letter from Johnny, who's still a lonely bachelor in Calcutta. He's written to me confessing his loneliness and the fact that he has never been heart whole since he left Stoke Park all those summers ago.
What?
This letter, my dear Caroline, contains a renewed offer of marriage. You are to set sail for Calcutta as soon as can be arranged as the future Mrs. Gates.
Is this a game, Lady Lennox?
Absolutely not. What do you say?
I don't know what to say. I'm astounded.
Isn't it wonderful? Shall I help you with your letter of acceptance?
I think not.
You will do it yourself.
There will be no acceptance, Lady Lennox. There's some scheme here. I don't know by what machinations Mr. Gates has offered for me.
Machinations?
But whatever they are, I shall decline him.
Decline? Miss Harding, how dare you be so insolent? How can you refuse so magnificent an offer? You're insignificant, poor,
Lady
and if
Lennox,
I may...
did you persuade Mr. Gates to renew his offer?
Indeed, I did not. I merely suggested to him that his lot would be much happier if he married.
I see. I don't suppose he has any inclination himself to marry at all.
Read his letter. See for yourself how genuine he is. Read it.
Thank you, no, Lady Lennox. As I'm to refuse him, there's no point.
You'll refuse him out of sheer obstinacy and pride, simply because the marriage was not entirely at his suggestion?
Not at all. I'll refuse him because I have no wish to marry now. I'm not as lonely and purposeless as I was. And I have no desire to leave Stoke Abbas and my father.
Do you mean to say that a handful of ragged cottagers and a few words of praise from a mere country doctor are enough to reconcile you to obscurity?
Quite sufficient, it seems.
I do not understand you.
Nor are you, Lady Lennox. I don't understand why you wish me to marry Mr. Gates. And I don't understand why he's so anxious to do your bidding.
How dare you! I see I have alarmed you.
I'm not alarmed.
You are alarmed. I shall give you 2 months to think it over.
I don't need to think it over.
You have the summer. I shall send for you in late August.
I shan't change my mind.
2 months, Miss Harding.
Carrie, my dear.
Papa?
I've been watching you from my study. You're prowling around the garden like an agitated kitten.
I'm not agitated, Papa.
Not worried in some way?
Not worried either, Papa.
I'm glad. My dear, as you know, I believe curiosity to be sinful.
But you've heard about my visit to the park. Mm-hmm. Very well. I'll satisfy your curiosity. Lady Lennox summoned me.
as she had wonderful news for me. I've been offered the hand of Johnny Gates in marriage.
Good heavens. And what answer did you give to this dazzling prospect?
I said I must refuse.
Oh, well, thank heaven. Did you give any reason?
I said I wish to stay with you and in Stoke Abbas. I belong here. I'm beginning to have a life here. And I don't wish to leave it.
I'm deeply thankful to hear it. But, Carrie, was there any part of you that wished to become Mrs. Gates?
Once, all of me wished to become Mrs. Gates' papa. And I suppose some part of me will always remember that wish. But it's all so long ago. I've changed, and he must have changed. So it could never be as it once might have been.
Perhaps it never could have been as you imagine. So, you have handled Lady Lennox with great firmness, and I see the victor in combat before me.
I believe you do, Papa.
And now you will occupy your time with your favourite pursuit of visiting the sick and needy. I saw Sam Wells today. He says the children have all had the scarlet fever. They're recovered, but very low and dispirited, and like to play a few games with Miss Caroline.
I shall go tomorrow and take some currants.
Take all the currants you wish. It does me good to know you're happy, Carrie.
Oh, I am, Papa. I really am.
No, Miss Caroline. Go away. Didn't fit in for you to come near me.
I don't mind it, Mary. I've been by sick beds all year. Though this is an unpleasant surprise. I came to occupy your children, not to find you ill. Now, I'm going to sponge and cool you to bring down the fever.
Oh, no, no, you mustn't. Think if he was to catch it.
You won't drive me away, Mary. There.
Oh. Oh, that soothed. 'Tis the night's his worst. Sam says I do rave like a mad thing. I fears for him, Miss Caroline. But I fears for the children more if both of us was to die.
Mary, I've seen far worse rashes than this and felt far hotter foreheads. You won't die.
Do you mean that?
Of course. And I shall come back often to make sure you don't die.
Oh, 'tis right what they do say of you. You, my angel. There's no two ways about it.
Ah, the angel of mercy returns. Kiss me, Carrie.
Don't tease me, Papa. I've been to see the Wells. Poor Mary has the fever now, though not badly. Ah,
you shall have a reward for your ministrations. Lady Lennox has sent up some excellent pullets for dinner. A feathered peace offering, I fancy.
I must wash, Papa. Then I shall do them justice. The morning has given me an appetite.
Carrie, my dear, you're a wonder. I've just had a visit from Sam Wells, who tells me that in the week you've been attending his wife, she's improved so much she can now leave her bed.
It's true, Papa. Mary's still weak, but mending.
Sam thinks you have superhuman powers. He's so grateful, we're promised the best bacon at pig killing and all the cream and butter we want. I wonder, would you draw that curtain across a little? I seem to have a slight headache.
Papa, you never have headaches. What's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Don't worry.
Would you like some water?
Do you fuss over your patients in the village like this?
No, Papa. I command them. But I don't think I'd have much success commanding you.
Certainly not. But you may get me some water.
Papa has a headache, Eleanor.
Papa never has a headache.
He has one now. I am to take him water.
I shall take it.
But as you please. But I think he wishes to be left in peace.
You're not the only person capable of nursing the sick, Carrie. Indeed, there are many more fitted for the task than you, I'm sure. Perhaps you might continue sorting these raspberries.
Of course.
On second thoughts, you'd better not. You wouldn't sort them as carefully as I do.
If you were to show me how...
No, it's best I do it. Heaven knows there's enough to be done, but it's best if I do it. You may go and paint.
Oh.
Here is your dinner, Papa. Oh. I've carved the beef to save you the effort.
Expertly carved too, my dear. But I'm afraid I haven't much appetite.
Papa!
Oh, don't look so anxious, Carrie.
I must have exposed myself to the sun too long this morning. Would you forgive me, my dears, if I return to my study?
Of course, Father.
I find the sight and smell of food a little nauseous.
Miss Caroline, come quick! The parson's sick, miss. He's just vomited and he do look like a sheet, so white.
Where is he?
Lying on his bed, miss.
Come with me.
Yes, miss.
Papa?
I fear I'm not well, Carrie.
You're not. Your brow is so hot. Will you let us make you more comfortable?
I should be grateful.
Here, sir.
Perhaps you'll be able to command me after all.
Oh, yes, Papa.
Oh, Miss Caroline! Look, he's got a rash right down his side.
Oh, Papa, forgive me.
There's nothing to forgive, Carrie.
But there is. This is my fault. I went to the Wells knowing they had fever because it satisfied me to do good. And I carried it back and gave it to the person I love most in all the world. Oh. I kissed you with fever. Like Judas.
I sent you to the Wells in the first place, Carrie. And you nursed Mary back to health. And now you shall nurse me.
Bring water and a sponge, Patsy.
Yes, miss.
We must keep the fever down. It's the fever, not the rash, that is the danger. Somebody must sponge him day and night.
Yes, miss.
You will begin now. I'm going to inform Miss Eleanor.
Scarlet fever? Scarlet fever? I knew it would happen, because you couldn't resist the praise of others. You've deliberately brought this upon us.
Don't be so violent, Eleanor. A father has seen sick villagers too.
I deserve it, Robert. Eleanor, if you'll nurse Papa by day, I'll sit by him at night.
You won't touch him! I shan't let you touch him!
Be quiet, Eleanor! Of course Carrie must take a turn. You can't sit by him 24 hours a day.
Lady Lennox has sent fruit from the park orangery every day. Will you write to thank her?
I've been riding round the parish, Carrie. I'll take all the services. Father needn't worry.
Thank you for the butter, Sam. Oh, Sam. It's been 6 days now and he's no better.
See, Miss Caroline, how that stain has spread. He's everywhere now. On his body, his hands, his face. And he's on fire!
Sponge him, Patsy, sponge him. Oh, Papa, I'm so sorry.
It's been 10 days, Carrie. 10 days!
No!
Oh, Papa.
I shall never have to perform a sadder burial. Oh, Carrie, you look like a ghost. If only you'd cry, I'm sure it would ease you. Tears bring relief, you know.
I would weep if I could, Robert, but I cannot. When Mama died, something heavy settled on my heart and sealed up its tears. That weight is infinitely heavier now.
Carrie, when we get home, I want to talk to you.
Yes, Eleanor. If she doesn't stop scolding me, I don't know what I shall do. She goes on so. I've only to make the smallest error and it sets her on a tirade that never stops.
Try to bear it, Carrie.
I can't bear it. You're the parson now and can escape into your duties. There's no such escape for me.
You realise you've ruined our lives, Carrie. If you'd listened to a single word I said that... Well, I'm sure you're well repaid for your selfishness
your greed for praise and your stupidity.
Eleanor, this is beyond enduring. It's bad enough that my every fault should start your accusations. But you use any little crisis in the house as an excuse to reproach me all over again. It's insupportable.
You must support it, Carrie. You deserve it.
Perhaps I do. But I can't live with you and never be allowed to forget for a moment. Never be forgiven. I can't.
You have no choice. There's nothing else you can do.
Yes, there is. Oh, there is!
Caroline?
Caroline!
Caroline. Well, well.
Good afternoon, Lady Lennox.
I've been expecting you these 3 months.
Have you?
I knew you'd come. I only had to wait. But, my dear Caroline, you look so tired, so pale. And you're thinner.
Lady Lennox,
Of course, much has sadly changed since we had our little talk. Your poor father...
Yes, Lady Lennox. Much has changed. In fact, it has changed so much that...
That your mind has changed too? How gratifying.
Indeed. Lady Lennox, I have come to say that if Mr. Gates still wants me, I will go to India.
You will marry him?
Yes, Lady Lennox. I will go to India, and I will marry Johnny Gates.
The part of Caroline Harding was played by Rebecca Egan. Parson Harding, Geoffrey Whitehead. Eleanor, Jane Whittenshaw. Robert, Roger May. Johnny Gates, Charles Simpson. Lady Lennox, Jennifer Hillary. Lord Lennox, David Collins. Georgiana, Jilly Bond. Frank Lovell, Paul Jenkins. Sir Edward Ashton, Nicholas Leprevo. Ralph Buxby, Andrew Wincott. The Circa, Dorendra. George Carew, Stephen Critchlow. With Patience Tomlinson, Tessa Worsley, Ross Livingstone and David Timpson. Parson Harding's Daughter by Joanna Trollope, writing as Caroline Harvey, was dramatised by Eric Pringle and directed by Jane Morgan.